Part 2, Section 2, The Minimal Chance, There is No Need for Teachers, and To Know Oneself. The Warrior's Dialogue, The Minimal Chance. In a lecture in which he was explaining to us various methods Nagwals use to help their apprentices, one of the present interrupting people threw this at him. Carlos, you always say that without the Nagual, there is no freedom. But that's because you had a teacher. What can we do, those of us who weren't so lucky? He exploded. It is not true. You have all the information you need. What more do you want? Do you hope to get everything for free without any effort? If you believe that somebody else will do the work for you, you're fucked up. In a reproachful tone, he made fun of the human laziness which makes us hope that others will do things and give us the greatest possible advantage. He called this the antithesis of a warrior's behavior. All that a man needs is the minimal chance to be made aware of the possibilities discovered by sorcerers. A warrior doesn't go around hoping they will come and kick him in the butt to make him move. He is ahead, and he says, I can do it, and I can do it alone. There's no need for teachers. Another time I asked him, Carlos, what determines an ordinary man's access to the sorcerer's knowledge? Intent? He answered, intent. Man's intent has to make an offer to the spirit, and the spirit must accept it, putting the means of evolution in his path. In other times, the only available way was to be directly pointed out to a Nagual. Nowadays, an ordinary man has the opportunity to be guided through publications. When seeking access to the world of sorcerers, one must be prepared. An accidental encounter with power won't lead to anything, except to a brutal fright for the seeker. From then on, will swear that sorcery is demon's work, or that everything is sheer falsehood. But a poorly conducted preparation, one which foments self-importance, instead of increasing wonder and a desire to learn, becomes a near total obstacle for the apprentice. One who becomes a Nagual saturated with beliefs on almost everything won't get the chance to continue. Therefore, the next requirement before entering the path of knowledge is a profound honesty. It is necessary to empty the harbor to make room for a new ship arriving, and to recognize that when it comes down to it, we don't know anything. Once that degree of preparation has been reached, the rest is a matter of luck. The spirit determines who will be chosen and who won't. The answer of the spirit is inscrutable. It happens in unexpected ways and in terms that are almost incomprehensible to our reason. All we can do is to be attentive to the signs, placing ourselves deliberately in the path. When man's intent seals an alliance with the spirit, it is unavoidable that the teacher appears. I asked him if the Nagual could be considered a teacher in the same way as the Oriental instructors. He answered emphatically, no. There's no comparison for a very simple reason. A Nagual never chooses his apprentices. The spirit is the one who determines through omens who can and who can't be part of a lineage. A real teacher is an impeccable warrior who has lost his human form and has a very clear bond with the abstract, so he doesn't accept volunteers. Education systems based on the seeker's spontaneous desire don't get very far, because they are not geared towards realization, but towards the concerns of the ego. All the followers do is to imitate, and that doesn't lead anywhere. Therefore, there's no need for teachers. After years of learning, I am convinced that all a seeker needs is the opportunity to be made aware of his possibilities. and a commitment to the death with his purpose. I observed that his statements were contradicting his repeated statements about how, without Don Juan, he would not have achieved anything. He replied, "Sorcerers make a clear distinction between the concepts of spiritual guide and Nagual teacher. The first is an individual who specializes in directing flocks, and the other is an impeccable warrior who knows that his role is limited to serving as a connection with the spirit. The first one will tell you what you want to hear. He will give you the miracles. He will give you the miracles that you want to see because you interest him as an acolyte. While the second will be guided by commands of an impersonal power, his help is not altruistic, but a way of paying his old debt with the spirit of man. The Nagual is not a benevolent type. He doesn't come to please us, but to wake us up. And he will do it with a stick if necessary, because he doesn't feel any compassion. When intervening in the life of his apprentices, he can produce a condition of such agitation in them that their latent energies are activated." The Warrior's Dialogue, Section 1, To Know Oneself. The conversation turned to the tendency that human beings have a behaving in imitative ways, something that he categorized as the behavior of primates. Our great opportunity, and at the same time our great anxiety, is an abyss of silent knowledge which is still inside each one of us. Below the noise of the mind, we all have the sensation that there is something indefinite, something that makes us grab anything which will alleviate this pressure of the unknown. Frequently, that feeling takes us to fanaticism, and there are always those willing to profit from other people's faith. Are all teachers frauds then? What I have seen is that most of them are as asleep as their followers, but they have learned how to hide it. Imagine a planet where all the residents are blind. Among them circulates the myth that it is possible to see, but no one has verified it. One day someone arrives and says, "I can see." What can they do? Either believe or not believe, and there will always be some who hope. It doesn't matter if the teacher is also blind, it is very easy for him to take advantage of the situation. The eagle doesn't demand that you revere it, only that you fill yourself with awareness. To fall on your knees before the unknown is totally useless. But to do it before another human being is the pinnacle of idiocy. The ape that we have inside yearns to have something to guide him. He needs to believe that there are superior entities who can magically solve his problems. As children, we are always hoping that someone will show up and take care of the situation. But from this, cults are born that, in essence, are ways of leaving the responsibility for one's own growth in other people's hands. We have been deceived. We have been told that we are special because we are rational, but that is not true. The human being wants desperately to obey and dies from fear when his valuable beliefs are removed. We are like fish that clean the fish tanks, always with one mouth open, devouring any debris that is thrown to us. Meanwhile, we ignore the source of life and knowledge that we have inside. I'm going to tell you a very old story, and well-known one, but always new one. The gods were wondering where to hide wisdom, to get it out of man's reach. In the mountains, he would climb them. In the ocean, he would find it. In space, the moon and the stars were equally discarded. Someday they would be explored too. Finally, the gods came to the conclusion that the best place to hide it was inside man, because that's the one place he will never look for it. And what did man do? Instead of examining himself with total honesty, he looked for a teacher. To become responsible for one's own existence is an anomaly, a violation of laws, a state of passion out of the ordinary, a fight that demands your entire life. It is the only procedure that will renew our energy. I don't know if you will be able to understand this detail. To know yourself is an intent of warriors. Nobody can intend it for you.